But what Satan is doing, whether we want to believe it or not, whether we want to accept it or not, there is a real God, there is a real Jesus, there's a real Holy Spirit, and there's a real Satan. And Satan has his own kingdom and his own dominion. He said he's the prince of the air. We know that he has forces that are arrayed against us. And believe it or not, you may not agree with this, but there's Christians possibly sitting right in this room right now that Satan is using to do his wiles. Amen? I'm going to give you a scripture at the end of it today that might give you insight into where you can judge yourself. Amen? Look, okay. Now, because we look at things, you know, I'm sure what people are thinking right now is okay, sin. Am I sinning? Well, it's not the sin you have to worry about. You understand that? Sin is something that you need to deal with because it separates you from the blessings and promises of God. And what it does, it puts up a block up so that you can't, I can't say you can't, but it becomes more difficult for you to receive from God. Because with sin comes condemnation, guilt, shame, and all the other stuff. Amen? And you can't enter into God's presence with that garbage. Amen? That God doesn't allow that in his presence. He dealt with it at the cross so that you can boldly come into the throne room of grace and mercy in time of need. But don't try to walk in there with shame and guilt. You've got to recognize who you are. And the greatest weapon you have, the greatest tool you have for success in this life is to know who you are, who your Father is, where you came from, and where you're going. Once you have that so deep ingrained inside of you, whatever he brings to you in the form, and listen, the enemy comes to you in the form of temptation. God doesn't tempt anybody, so you can't say it's of God. When you fall into these temptations, and again, get your mind away from the temptations of gluttony and sin, you know, the seven deadly sins and all this stuff. Forget that stuff. That stuff is just minor compared to what goes on in the heart of man. You understand? Because with those things of the flesh out here, you can go on a diet. Amen? So you can deal with that stuff. But the heart is what God wants to reach into and remove everything that allows the enemy to get a hold of. Because God doesn't want you in control of the enemy. He wants you in control. God doesn't want the enemy in control of you. He wants you in control of the enemy.
Amen?
Amen? So we want to look at this and say, okay, how can I succeed in doing and being and receiving all that God has? Everything. In this life, we're going to go through trials and tribulations. Amen?
Amen.
But when I said this to you earlier, when I got this, was what was happening to me, and I got this thing, and this was said, and this, that, I'm sitting there going, oh, man, you know, God's doing some great things. Why is all of this? Then all of a sudden, God just revealed. He said, every time I begin to move or do something with you, the enemy's going to put obstacles in front of you. You understand that? Satan doesn't just sit back. He used to own you. You understand that? He used to own you. You were his slave. But Jesus dealt with it at the cross. And everything Satan had that held you and bound you to him, all the accusations, all the sins, all the things of trespass, all the things you've done, was nailed at the cross. So he no longer has a bill of sale of you. It was nailed at the cross. He doesn't own you anymore. Jesus removed all that stuff. So which means Satan has no right to you except what you open to him. And trust me when I tell you this, we all do it at times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you go and continue in sin without true repentance, trust me when I tell you, all you've done is open it up and it's going to keep flooding in. And the change you hope for never comes. You cannot defeat Satan with the works of the flesh. He revels in that. That's his playground. That's where he gets to mold and shape you into his image. When you walk in the Spirit, you will never fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is where Satan has his dominion and power over you. And to ignore him is fine. You can pretend it's not true. All you want is what you want. Well, what you want, if it doesn't line up with what God wants, the only other source of want comes from the devil. There's only light and darkness. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. There's no middle ground. There's no dominion or kingdom where you reign. Either he does or he does. That's it. We got nothing else. We can pretend it doesn't happen. We can pretend he's not real. And that's what he wants. Satan wants the world to pretend he's not real. What's going on in America today? All the stuff you're seeing, all the stuff that's going on, either one of two forces are at work, either God or Satan. And if you can't distinguish between the two, if you think it's just a political thing, if you think it's just some minor thing that's going on, you know, and all this thing's going to be worked out, and this guy's in the office, and that one's not, and this one is, this, and that, none of that's going to happen, kids. Do I believe God's about to do something great? Yes. Does that mean everybody, even in this small group that are sitting here today, that's going to be involved in that and see the blessings that come out of it? No. Some will continue on the path they're on thinking that they're right. And anytime you get to the point where you think you're right, you're wrong. Because that's the way I see it. I see only the only one I know that's right is here. He's right. God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, that's right. Anything else is wrong. I know, that's tough. So what I want you to do, and hopefully, prayerfully, you get like I do. When this started happening and all this, all of a sudden that God started showing me stuff in here. And I said, I actually, whether you believe it or not, a joy welled up within me. All of a sudden a joy come up. Then I recognize this is real. God's about to do something. Yeah. Satan is real, and he's trying to stop it. Yeah. Listen to me. He may not stop the corporate work of God, but he can stop the individual.
Yes. Come on.
You understand that? So you can see it happening out here, and you go, how come God is never working in my life? How come it's not working for me? If God is working, he's working for everybody, not just some. But it's those whose minds are stayed on the things above are walking by the Spirit. And they'll walk right into the promise without all the fuss and bust and all the stuff you got to do, all the works you got to do. No, you'll walk right into the promise. The blessings will overtake you. The Bible says it'll overtake you. You'll be walking along and all of a sudden blessing will come up and slap you behind the head. You'll turn around and look and you'll see all the blessing. Oh, man, where did that come from? My God. My God has already prepared it for you. Now, what the enemy's thing is to get you to divert from the path that God wants you on. God called it a narrow path. He said the wide path is for everybody else, and that leads to destruction, leads to mess. Well, if your life is in a destructive, messy mood, maybe you're on the wrong path at the moment. Trust me when I tell you, Satan cannot work in the narrow path. Only when we all do it. Yes. Come on now. Amen. So let's look at this. Let's not be ignorant. The Bible says don't be ignorant of the wiles of the enemy. Let's figure out what he's trying to do. And let's make sure that we're prepared.
Amen.
Because he's got landmines. Mm-hmm. Amen. He's got landmines. He's got some set for you. But God says the Holy Spirit will tell you of things to come. He'll give you vision and wisdom beyond your ability to see in the natural. And all of a sudden, somebody will come up and say something to you. Instead of being affected by it, you'll praise God and worship God for it. Why? Because it didn't bother you. Amen? When you're bothered by what somebody says to you, you're trying to defend yourself rather than God defending you. I like what Jesus did on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Bless them, Father. Amen? But you can recognize, and all of a sudden you can start operating in a system that Satan has no power over. Matter of fact, God just gave me this scripture before we get into the message. When we're worshiping in Ephesians 4, hallelujah, you ready? This I was going to save to the end. It's a kicker. Let's start with it. Maybe it will be enough for all of us to say, okay, I got it. Look at Ephesians 4. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm trying to figure it out. Okay, I want to see if I'm in the right one. I know I am, but I got to figure out which one it is. You ready? I'm looking. Please forgive me. I know where it is. 17, I think, but that's... Okay, I'm looking for one place. Well, yeah, it's all relative. I know it is. Let's start in 17 anyways. For this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Remember what I said earlier. It's your soul at war with your spirit and your mind. You see things. You've always done it this way. You always gave evil for evil. Stop.
Amen.
Once you give evil for evil, it just continues to perpetuate. It just continues to grow. Evil feeds on evil. When you see these people doing all these crazy things out there, you don't turn to them. You don't look at them and say, oh, those, look at that. No. Father, bless them. Open the eyes of their understanding. The Bible says that Satan has blinded the eyes of these people, lest they should hear the gospel of truth and turn from their ways. You have a spiritual warfare going on out here. You got spiritual warfare in marriages. People are being torn apart because one is being used by Satan and the other doesn't recognize it, and they're not doing what God tells them to do with it. So they just keep feeding the fire, keep feeding the evil, keep feeding all this stuff. And pretty soon, blowing up. Never mind. Let's go on. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of what? The ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But listen to this. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. I can remember times with Diane and I, earlier in our marriage, we wouldn't talk to each other for weeks. Really, we were so angry with each other, we wouldn't talk to each other. That's when I was a child. And I put away childish things.
Amen.
Amen. Peace. Peace is where God works. Chaos, anger, that doesn't work. God's not working in that. That's the devil's playground. Amen? Let's go on here. Wait a minute, listen. Nor give place to the devil. You're giving place to the devil. For those who say there is no devil, how can you give place to something that doesn't exist? And what's he mean by giving place? You're giving an opening to him to operate in your life. And trust me when I tell you, when he comes in, he doesn't just mess with your marriage. He doesn't just mess with your finance. He doesn't just mess with you. He messes with all of it. You give him an inch, he'll take a mile. He's real. He's real. Because if he wasn't real, the whole world would now be saved and redeemed. Amen? The whole world, your friends, your family, everybody would be saved. But there's a devil out there who's trying to stop what Jesus did at the cross operating in the lives of the believer and the non-believer alike. You're going to see it, man. We open these doors to him. We give him power over us. Amen. We'll look how we do that later. So don't give any place to the devil. All right. Now let's take a look at something here. I want to take you back. Go back to Isaiah 14. We're going to look at what happened with the devil. What happened to him. Remember, Satan was an archangel. And he was the leader of the worship team in heaven. He stood before the throne of God. Worshiped God. Worshiped Jesus. He had pipes, it says, in him. It was instruments that just was worship. I'll be kind. But I've said this before. Mark knows it. You guys know it. You've heard it before. We have watched over the years, the most destructive part of a ministry is a worship team. Or the most blessed part of it is the worship team. Now, including the Word of God, I'm not denying that. But the enemy knows how, because of the giftings and talents and being in front of other people and all these things and all they got, pride is a big, big problem in the worship team. It's also a big problem for the pastor. It's a big problem for all of us. Pride is a big thing. But in the worship team, I have watched more ministries be destroyed because there was a breakup in the worship team. I remember one person leaving here who was part of the worship team and turned to me and said, because of that worship team, this ministry will be no more. Really? We're still here. I don't know where they are, but I know where we are. Amen? Because of Satan, Satan was the worship leader, and his problem was pride. Amen? He fell because of pride. Don't be surprised at these things. But you don't have to give in to these things.
Amen.
You don't have to let them control your life. Amen. You don't have to be fearful. I want you to know something. Number one, don't be ever afraid of the devil. You know? Don't fear the one who can kill your body, but fear the one who can kill your body and send your soul to hell. That means God. Learn to what the fear of God is. I got to do a message on that again. Learn to fear God. And, you know, understand, God's in control. But he also has given us free will. I was sitting last night, we were at a blessing. We went to the fire department and ambulance, Nassau. We get you asked every year. And I get to get up and open up in prayer. Just a side note, I know I'm going off on a little rabbit trail here for a minute. So last night, I got up and opened up in prayer. I said to him, well, I said, I want to first of all thank you that you invited Diane and I here tonight and so on and so forth. But I want to ask your apology, your forgiveness. I said, every year you invite us to this wonderful gathering. And we have a good time. And I have neglected to invite you to our gathering. There was 100-some people there. So I said, right now, you have an official invitation to join us here. I said, don't all of you come at once because we don't have enough chairs. But I said, come on in and join us.
Amen.
I got a few laughs, not too many, but yeah. I think most of them, with their drink on their way up, they're going, what? What did he say? Okay, we had a good time. We got the chance. Oh, yeah, the fire chief said to me, he said, next meeting we have, I'm going to make sure I reiterate that invitation to everybody that's here.
Amen. There it is.
Amen. So maybe we didn't have because we didn't ask. So maybe, praise God, we'll see what happens. Even if we get one time to share the good news with someone. Amen. But anyways. And then we're sitting at a table. I know I'm off on. Turn it off for a while. We're sitting at a table and with Kelly and Roth. We're having a good time talking. And next to me sat a judge. We spent most of the night talking about the word, about Jesus. He was so hungry. He is so hungry to know the truth. And we just sat there and praise God. It was a good night. It was a good night, anyways. Oh, we were having a ball. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. But anyways, okay. Glory to God. God uses us. But let's I want to just take with you. Go over here in the verse 12. Let's start there. I'm sorry. Isaiah 14, verse 12. Did I tell you that? I didn't tell you 14. Okay. Now, we want to know our enemy. Amen? So let's look at what God says happened to Satan. Verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. That word Lucifer means day star. Remember he said he'll come as an angel of light at times?
Yep.
Amen. How are you cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. I want you to see something. Back up there. Look how many times he said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. The battle between wills. God's will, Satan's will. There was a great battle in heaven because they were both. Satan was saying, I want my will. God says, no, it's my will. In you, there's a battle. Every time you say, I will, make sure it lines up with God's will. How I know what God's will is. Amen. God will always show you his will. If you're seeking his will, he'll show you his will. And there's that battle that's going on in us constantly. Always. I want to do it my way. I want to do my thing. I want to go here. I want to do that. I want to do this. God said, whoa, wait a minute. I have need of you over here. I have a desire to show you over here. I want to give you something. Go over there. I want to release something into your life. Go over there. And we're going to say, I'm sorry, Lord, because I've really got my will to get done here. So we have that battle. We see Satan. He was in heaven. He got kicked out because he was the battle of the wills. Now, go down one more, or two more scriptures maybe. Let's see. Those who see you will gaze at you. In other words, there's going to come a time when you're going to be able to see Satan, who he is. Remember something. Satan is not omniscient, omnipotent, or omnipresent. In other words, that just means God is everywhere, God is all-powerful, and God is all... What did I say the other one was? All-powerful, omniscient, omnipotent, all-powerful, all-present, and all-knowing. Thank you. I skipped one. All-knowing. Yes. God is. Jesus is. The Bible says, you know, where can I go that God isn't present? He's present all over. Amen. But Satan isn't. He's an individual. He's a created being. God created him. He's just... I'm not going to say anything like that. He's just a created being. He is not all those present. He is not all powerful. And he certainly is not all knowing. We think at times he is because he knows so many different people. The only reason he knows them because he's got an army of demons watching you day and night. Waiting for you to stumble. Waiting for you to do the wrong thing. Oh, then I can't do anything. Stop. You don't have to fear him. If you sin, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you. He closes the door. You can't get in. Amen? You don't get afraid of these things, but know that they are real. You remember the story of the prophet and his servant? It says the army came. There was an army coming up against Israel. It said when they came to attack, every time they started to move, the Israel was prepared for them, waiting for them. And it says that the king of the invading force said, "Hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? Who's the one telling Israel all the things that I'm doing?" It says, "What's going on? There's a spy in our camp." And one of his soldiers said to him, "No, Lord, there's a prophet in the city." And he says, he comes right into your bedroom and hears everything you say. In other words, he's saying, he comes to your secret most hiding place, wherever you are, and he hears what God tells him, what you're saying, and then God instructs him on what to do. So the king got mad. He said, "Okay, we're going up against them. Let's go. We're going to surround the city. Find out where this guy is and surround the city. We're going to attack and kill him." Well, he surrounded the city. The servant of the prophet came to him and said to him, "Hey, did you see what's out there? There's a whole army arrayed against us. We're going to die." And the prophet said to God, he prayed, and he said, "Father, open his eyes that he may see what I see." Yeah. And he opened his eyes. God opened the eyes of the servant, and the servant looked, and it was my gigantic army of angels surrounding them. And it says that they destroyed that army that was invading. There are more for you than against you. Never fear. Never fear what the devil can do. Never, ever fear what the devil can do. You understand? There's more power in you than the devil's got all against you if he took his whole horde of army against you. That's the truth. But no, that does not say, "Well, then he's nothing I have to worry about." No. Don't be foolish. And don't sit there and argue with him. Don't sit there and call him names. Amen? You don't do that. Arguing over the body of Moses. It says the angel was arguing with Satan, and Satan wanted the body of Moses, and the angel said, "The Lord rebuke you." He never ever came up and called them all kinds of stupid names. Just said, "The Lord rebuke you." Remember something, you've got the power of the name of Jesus. You've got the power of the blood of Jesus. The blood of a lamb put over the doorpost stopped the death angel from touching the house in Israel. The blood of an animal. Amen? What do you think the blood of Jesus Christ does? If the blood of an animal could keep the death angel away, what can the blood of Jesus do?
Hallelujah.
Grab it.
Hallelujah.
Amen? So we don't have to be afraid. But we're not to be ignorant of this. This is something we don't just ignore and pretend it's not real. And if I just be a good little person, he'd leave me alone. Let me put it this way. Should I do it that way, Lord? Hallelujah. Yeah, okay. He said, probably if you're not being bothered by him, you're not really doing much for the kingdom. Well, I'm gonna give you a list of what goes on when he most likely will start maneuvering against you. Amen? There's times when he sets up and he starts maneuvering. And listen, I can't go there yet. I got too many other things to bring to you. Listen, let me finish here. Where am I? Yeah, I know, but I'm reading verse chapter 12. I don't know why. All right, hang on. 16. Those who you see will gaze at you and consider you, saying, "Is this the man who made the earth tremble?" In other words, you're going to look at him and say, "Him? Him? He's the one that caused all this havoc, caused all these abortions, caused all these divorces, caused all this, you know, sickness and disease. This?" Because he's no big deal when you're standing in the place of Jesus Christ. When Jesus was on the cross, he looked down you don't got nothing in me. He proved it when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. He was standing in a position of power and authority, even nailed at the cross. That's amazing fact. When you're at your worst, when the worst in your life is going on, you're still in a place of power and authority.
Oh my God.
And you do not have to give in to him. You do not have to be depressed, oppressed, you know, falling apart. All of a sudden you recognize God is doing something great here. Praise God. There's coming a resurrection. There's coming a restoration. There's coming a healing. There's coming a deliverance. There's come something's on its way. Why do I know that? Because I got an enemy. If your life did not end up glorifying God, then your whole life is wasted.
Yeah.
And he will not bother you if you're not in a position where God is taking you into a place that will glorify him.
Amen.
Do you understand that? When you come to understand, something coming good. Something coming good. Something coming good. You know, I've learned something, and I'm gonna kind of a little sidetrack again. I've learned something. I can stop trying to be perfect. And I can just let him do it. You know how many years that took me to learn that? You know how many years I had to stop saying, what didn't I do because I'm in a mess where I'm at? Or what did I do because I'm in a good place where I'm at? God is doing what God is doing.
Amen.
And there's a change coming. There's a transformation coming. Yeah, I've been through it. Been there, done that, got that, had that.
Mm-hmm.
But God delivered me out of it all.
Amen.
In it, I've learned I can trust him.
Amen.
I can trust him. And you're in a place where you can trust him. I don't care if there's a big hole in the bottom of the boat and you're sinking. You know God's going to deliver you out of it.
Amen.
Amen. And here's something else you learn. God does not have to prove himself to you or to me or to anyone else. He's God. Amen. Now the religious mind says you've got to prove yourself to him. You don't even have to do that. Because when the Spirit of God is working in you, he will transform you from the within to without. And you give no place, as we read earlier, to the devil. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we see we have an enemy. We're going to look at him and say, but that's... And again, I think, who was it? I don't remember. It was Wilkerson or one of them. If they were in bed at night and the devil showed up in the middle of the night, shaking his bed and everything. He woke up, he looked up. Oh, it's only you. He turned over and went back to sleep. Oh, it's only you. All he can do is try to stir up this. He cannot control your life. He cannot control your health. He cannot control your finances. He cannot control your love for someone or your willingness to serve. He can't control that. What he can do is tempt you out of a position of authority, out of a position of peace, out of a position of love. He can tempt you to walk out of that. And once you step into his realm, now he's got you. Now he can start affecting your life. And he can do it in many different ways. We'll talk about that later too. But right now, remember, you're in a position of authority. You're in a position of victory. You are in a position where he cannot influence your life without your permission. Isn't that cool? Yeah, but what about everybody else? That's a whole nother story. Amen. If you don't have discernment and recognition of what's going on around you, you'll start looking at people and say, oh, it's your fault. Oh, it's their fault. Oh, they didn't do this, or they did this, or they didn't say that, or they didn't go. No. No, 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 no. If you're being manipulated, I love you, it's your fault. Amen? The Bible said when Cain and Abel went through what they went through, God said to Cain, he said, hey, listen, Sin is at the door, always waiting for you to open up the door and let it in. Right there. That which so easily comes against me and besets me is right there always. I know it's there. I know it's there. To the best of my ability, by the grace of God, by the mercies of God, by the word of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, I don't allow it to influence my life. I fight against it. Is there times when it can? Yes, it can. Then I repent quickly and turn back. But no, nobody's immune to this. Nobody's going to sit there, the devil isn't going to sit there and say, let them go. Ain't going to happen. He's got enough demons for everybody. He's got enough principalities for everybody. Amen? But you got more. You got angels. You got ministering spirits with you. So you don't have to be fearful of this. There's more for you than against you. Amen? All right. Praise God. Go with me into Colossians 2. I want you to see this. We talked about this already a little bit. Hallelujah. First of all, I want to establish this fact. Go with me. Let's start in verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. In other words, we've been circumcised of the heart, not of the flesh. Amen. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So you went through the process. You went through the process of death at the cross, burial in the cave, in the tomb, the resurrected life. Now you are now living a resurrected life. Amen? Some people act like they're still in the tomb, but they're not. Hallelujah. And that's why Paul would pray, Father, open the eyes of their understanding. Because they're blinded to the truth of what God has done through the cross at Calvary. The power that he's released for you. And you being dead in your own trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you how many trespasses?
All
trespasses. So when the devil comes and accuses you, what do you say? I've been forgiven. When he reminds you of your past life and past sins and all the things that went on before, when you say, well, look what you... No, I've been forgiven. That's done. It's been washed away. It's been wiped away. I got a clean slate. I'm as if I'm a perfect, born-again, clean baby. Amen? Hallelujah. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Come on now. Every accusation, every failure, every ugly thing that ever went on, and he says, okay, this is who you are. You say, no, that's not who I am. I died, and all of that was nailed to the cross, and it was all removed from me. When I went, I was free from that. When I came out resurrected, I came out a whole new person. Amen. But his goal is to keep reminding you of what you did, what you said, what you didn't do. And the worst part of it is he has people lined up to reinforce what he said to you. In other words, he's already got people, even in the church. When people operate out of their feelings, the emotions, and all the, what they see in the flesh, they will reinforce what Satan is already speaking to you. So if you got somebody who's weak in their self-esteem, and they've always been abused or they've been accused, you know, everybody talks evil of them. Satan will start stepping out because they've been washed in their blood. They've been forgiven. All of a sudden, their minds have been renewed to who they truly are. And instead of believing that lies of the devil, believing that old life that was there, now all of a sudden they see themselves as a new creation, something different. I am new. I see things differently. I feel things differently. I look differently. Then all of a sudden somebody will walk up. You start believing this stuff. You start confessing. You start walking it. And somebody will walk up and say, I remember you when you were blah, 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 when you did blah, 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 and you did yeah. And all of a sudden you start going, oh, I ever get away from that? That's who I am. I can never get away. And you start taking it on again. That's how the devil works, you know. That's how he works. He's always got his emissary. And trust me, remember, he's spiritual. He cannot operate unless he can find a willing host to do it. You understand that? He cannot just look. If demons could, they'd be talking to me right now. But all they can do is influence someone else to speak to me where my weakness is. Ah, ha, 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 ha. But you have no weakness. You're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You are the head, not the tail. The devil can't wag you. You wag him. Amen? You take that old serpent up. You say, "Phee!" If the devil comes and says something about you right to you, you turn to him and you say, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what you did. You changed me. You changed me. I'm not that person anymore. Forgive them, Father, because they learned what it means to go to the cross. They haven't learned what it means to be died with Christ and buried with him. They haven't learned what it means to be resurrected in a new life. All they can see is the old. All they can see is the flesh. They can't see what you've done in my heart. You haven't seen how you have transformed me into the image of your Son. Forgive them, Father. The days will come when their eyes are open to this fact, and this truth will start setting them free. The reality of God's word is truth. And it's the truth that you need. You don't need somebody just making you feel good. You don't need somebody telling you, "Oh, you poor little thing." No. Here's the truth. That's who I was. This is who I am. Well, you don't act like it. That's who I was. This is who I am. Well, you still that's who I was. This is who I am. Am I perfect in that way yet? Yes, I am perfect, but I'm walking it out and learning to walk in that perfection.
Amen.
I'm learning. I'm in the process of learning. And I will learn until I go home to be with the Father.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you what. I give no place to the devil. That means I give him no power over me, no authority over me, no place in my life. So if I'm going to have arguments, I'm not going to let the sun go down on my anger. I am not going to get into a fuss all the time over things that cannot be changed. I'm not going to fight with people who don't want to know. I'll love them. I'll talk to them. I'll pray for them. I'll bless them. But I am not going to be changed because somebody else is having a hissy fit and the devil's working through them to try to attack me. I'll bless them. Father, open their eyes. Let them see it. You don't have to be worried about this stuff. Man, start walking in the power and authority God's given you.
Amen.
Amen. They've been disarmed. They've been disarmed. Jesus dealt with them. It's dealt with. I don't have to disarm them, but I don't have to accept them either. Amen? I had a lot of people in my life that I've been around. I've seen a lot of people come and go. I've seen a lot of marriages changed. I've seen a lot of people transformed in a time when God has ministered to them. I've watched them. But you know what? They choose the life they live. I choose the life I live. Amen? And my life is hidden Christ. What you do is up to you. When I sat with them last night, the judge says, "You know, the greatest thing that God has ever given anybody?" I said, "What?" He said, "Free will." I said, "You're absolutely right. We just talked about two wills."
Mm-hmm.
I have a free will to be able to say yes to God and no to the demon and the devil.
Amen.
You understand? I got that free will. Gave it to me. I choose God.
Me too.
I choose God. Remember? What did Joshua say? He said, this day you choose whom you'll serve. Either God of the gods of before you came across into that new life, or the God, Jehovah. But you choose this day who you'll serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
That's my choice. Amen. We have free will. Praise God. Now, let me give you a couple of real quick ones here. 1 Peter 5:8. Go there, and we're going to stop in a couple minutes. I didn't get everything I wanted to, but praise God. By the grace of God, we have next week. Listen. Verse 5. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Praise God. Ugh, glory to God. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober. Amen. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's still operating. And he's loud. Now, why do I know that these people out there demonstrating are not of God? Because they're loud. They have no power, but they're making so much noise that people are watching them and starting to think that there's something here. When the devil comes at you, the first thing he'll do is make enough noise to get your eyes, your ears, and your mind off of what God is doing, what God said, onto what he's yelling and screaming.
Right.
When two people, amen, come into a disagreement, and you will at times. Everybody comes in disagreements. The loudest one is usually the wrong one. You got that? The loudest one is usually the wrong one. Because they're not standing on truth. They're standing on their feelings, their emotions, all this stuff. The devil has nothing to stand on, so he's got to be loud. But God, who stands with truth and righteousness and holiness and power, comes as a still small voice. The person who has the power speaks reason and righteousness. The devil who uses the other one has to be loud because they have no truth to stand on. Cool, eh? Like a roaring lion. Amen. How do you know you're used by the enemy? Because you've got to be louder than the other one to get your point across. Be still and know that I'm God. I don't have to prove to you, to them, or anyone. I'm a child of God. Satan tried to do that with Jesus. He put him up on the top and he said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself off. The angels will pick you up and carry you. I don't have to prove anything. A person who has to be loud is trying to prove a point that they don't even believe themselves.
Wow.
Amen?
Wow.
And they think in that noise, they're out there, oh, we get enough noise, we'll drown everybody else out. It doesn't change anything. In the end, you lose. In the end, you'll always lose. But those who know their God, they'll be still. They'll hear the voice of God, and they'll speak truth. And truth is what sets the free. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I got so many other ones here. I'm going to stop right now. We got just the beginning.
Wow.
Amen? As I said earlier, we don't glorify him.
Right.
We're exposing him.
Yes.
Amen? And don't ever, 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 ever think just because something happens that it's the end. It's not over till God says it's over. When they all looked, the brother looked, all those people looked and said, oh, the son has left the father, taken his inheritance, gone away. It's over with for him. He's done. He's finished. He can't be part of the family anymore. He's out there doing his thing. It looks like it's done. It ain't over till God says it over.
Amen.
God let him go through some stuff. God will let you go through some stuff. You want to go through it? Remember, it's your will to go through it. God will not take you and push you through all that garbage. That's not God's way. Jesus said, I did not come to destroy, but I came to give life and give it to more abundantly. When it finally came to his senses, when he finally seen it out there, I've tried this, I've tried that, we did this, we did that, we partied, we had a good old time, we did all these things. But you know, it brings no satisfaction, it brings nothing to me. It's better just to be a servant in the household of God than be out there in that world. I don't care how much stuff you get. I don't care how much stuff you get. It can't compensate for the emptiness of no God in you. And that goes for the Christian. Because when you're walking out there without him, I don't care how good it looks, how good things are going, there's something missing. That walk with Jesus, that presence, that look he gives you, that touch he touches you with, that small, still voice he whispers to you and tells you, I love you. You're part of me. You're part of my family. Nothing out there like it. Nothing out there like it. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, today. For your word, for your Holy Spirit. And Father, we are grateful that you enabled us to be here today in the midst of the snow, in the midst of all this stuff. We thank you, Father, that our minds, Father, will be stayed on you and that we'll focus on you, Father, through all of the mess that's coming. We're not going to complain. We're not going to murmur. We're going to just rejoice that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. Do you have any announcements? Mrs. Diane, Mrs. Pastor. Last night we're there, and usually I only open up in prayer. But this time I had to do the benediction afterwards because the other pastor wasn't there. She wasn't feeling